Joe, it's so great to have you in class. We're going to get that stutter worked out.
And you ain't black.
Okay. I like to start by asking everyone how their summer vacation went.
I spent last summer going through the black sections of my town trying to get black men to understand it's not unmanly to wear a condom.
Okay. Well, Joe, so let's start with this. Repeat after me. A child's social class does not define them.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Okay, let's try something easier. Anyone is welcome at the convenience store.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
What is that? What are you saying?
I got tested for AIDS. I know Barack got tested for AIDS. There's no shame in being tested for AIDS.
Okay, this usually is not how most people stutter.
Joe, did you make it to speech class, honey? How do you like your teacher?
If we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Joe, you can't be on your phone in class, man.
You're a line dog-faced pony soldier.
Are you sure you have a stutter?
I don't think of myself as continuing to stutter.
Oh, so you're just a bad person.
I'm not sorry for anything that I have ever done.
Hey folks, thank you so much for watching. Please like, share, subscribe, and comment. And if you want to help us make more, donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes. Thank you.
The Derek Chauvin trial. And people are preoccupied with it. That, by the way, is in itself a tragedy. I don't say there should not have been a trial. There should have been a trial. But the preoccupation of the country is entirely media and left-wing induced. We don't even know the name of the police officer at the U.S. Capitol who unprovoked shot to death a white right-wing demonstrator at the Capitol. We don't even know the person. We suspect it's a male. We don't even know his name, let alone is he not on trial. Now, why is that? Because the dead person is white and because the dead person is a right-winger. That's why. So it is unworthy of attention. Unworthy of attention. It is a scandal that we do not know who that officer is and why the woman was shot to death. Is that unfair? Of course it's not unfair. The media direct what the people are concerned with. And once people are concerned with it, I have to be concerned with it because then I'm neglecting what people are concerned with. That's the way it works. It's unfortunate. I try to withstand it much of the time, but I can't do it all the time. Then I'm ignoring what is happening. Even if what is happening is based on exaggeration or lie, I have to cover it because it is preoccupying people. Anyway, there is no male-female hour today. That is the reason. I don't know whether the verdict was fairly arrived at or was arrived at in part, in large measure, in small measure, due to intimidation. However, there is no question that when you have mobs outside a courtroom waiting to explode, and mobs all over the country waiting to explode and burn down parts of cities, and your name will come out if you did not render the verdict the left wants. Got to be a pretty, pretty heroic person. And heroes are not common. You have to be a pretty heroic person to have not voted for all three. Though I don't know, would there have been rioting if two of the three charges he was found guilty on, but not on the second-degree murder charge? I think there would have been rioting, but not as much. I just don't know. They wanted all three done. For those who believe that police cannot be found guilty in a crime against a civilian, especially a black civilian, this was a great moment for them. As I mentioned in the first hour, I saw a video of a black man who just held back tears. It was clear when he heard the verdict. It was a very touching video. It's a very sad video because he truly believes that blacks are singled out by police to die. And there is no truth to that. Blacks are singled out by black murderers to die. And that does not bring the same tears to blacks or whites. Imagine, I want you to imagine a media that actually was not left. Imagine for a moment that as much attention were paid to a six-year-old killed by a black gang member in some inner city in the country, Baltimore, Chicago, New York, L.A. And we learned as much about the family grieving for their six-year-old as we did about the Floyd family. Just imagine that for a moment, what a different America it would be. But there are so many of them, of these innocents killed by blacks in the inner city, dwarfing the number killed by police, that it's Stalin's old line, one death is a tragedy and a million is a statistic. Of course, it's not a million killed here, but I'm just giving you the Stalin line. And that is the world in which we live. It will have no effect, however, I was mentioning to you, the effect that it might have on those who believe that a white policeman cannot be found guilty for killing a black, or even, some will contend, almost any civilian. And will it have any effect? I'll tell you the effect that it has on the left. The mob works. Intimidation works. You think there will be fewer riots the next time the press decides to play something up? Let me give you an example here about Dante Wright, right? That's another killing of a black man. That a lot of the activists raised his name. Oh, now, you know, what about Dante Wright? American Spectator reported the following. We never hear the last of these names: Eric Garner, Alton Sterling, Michael Brown, George Floyd, Rashad Brooks, and now Dante Wright. We will never hear the last of them because there will always be more, and because certain people are invested in forcing us to hear about them. But what they demand we hear isn't the truth. So the author goes on to speak about another author who, remember, Dante Wright was theoretically stopped because he had things hanging from his deodorant tank hanging from his rearview mirror, air freshener. Billy Binion of Reason Magazine pronounced Dante Wright dead as a result of that idiotic statute. He's wrong. The law, disgracefully ridiculous though it might be, did not kill Dante Wright. Dante Wright, or at least the life he led, killed Dante Wright. He wasn't pulled over because he had air fresheners hanging from his rearview mirror. He was pulled over because he had expired tags on his license plate. Then it was noticed that he had air fresheners hanging from the rearview mirror. Then it was noticed he had an outstanding warrant. Then it was noticed he resisted arrest. Then it was noticed he had an outstanding... I read that part, I'm sorry. Then it was noticed that he got back in his car and drove away from the police, which is what he had done before. Wright had fled from officers in June. The circumstances from which that police encounter arose make for scintillating reading. He was reported to the police for waving a gun around. And when the cops showed up, it turned out Wright didn't have a permit for the gun. He ran away and he was cited and ordered to appear in court. He didn't, which occasioned the warrant for his arrest. That's not all that appears on Wright's record. There was the February arrest for aggravated robbery. By the way, why was he out? Arrested for aggravated robbery. There was a disorderly conduct charge arising from a 2019 incident. There was the guilty plea in late 2019 to possession and sale of marijuana. And there was an arrest warrant for armed robbery. Armed robbery. Is that serious enough? Wright was accused of chokeholding a woman and threatening her at gunpoint, demanding $820 that she had intended to use to pay her rent. This is the Dante Wright that the police are, it's reported, they just pulled him over because driving while black and having deodorant hanging from your rearview mirror. What did I say? Deodorant. Air freshener. I'm sorry. It's correct. It's different. Air freshener. Back in a moment.
Josh Rogan is an author, and he has had access to the top U.S. officials from the White House and in our foreign policy machine, and he has written a new book called Chaos Under Heaven, and it talks about our relationship with China and what happened under Trump and with the Wuhan virus. Welcome to the program, Josh. How are you?
Great to be with you, Glenn.
Thank you. So thank you for at least asking honest questions and letting the chips fall where they may. I don't know why we can't talk about where the virus came from. I don't think that it was a man-made virus that was intentionally released. I think there's a good chance that it did come from the Wuhan Institute, and it accidentally was released, but I don't know if we have any proof of that. Tell me about what you have found.
Well, that's exactly right, Glenn. As it turns out, the origin of the coronavirus is not a political question. It doesn't matter if you're on the left or the right. It doesn't matter if you like Trump or if you don't like Trump. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. It is simply a scientific and forensic question, and probably the most important question that we have to answer in order to solve the crisis that we're in and prevent the next pandemic. Yet, for over a year, we've been told that just to even mention the possible, still yet unproven, but certainly possible theory that the outbreak began due to human error in one of these Wuhan labs, just to mention that was considered quite impolite and quite out of bounds in Washington society and in the media for a number of reasons.
So before we get into the reasons, let me ask you, we knew something was wrong. I mean, talk about the Wuhan cables.
Yes. So what I reported at the time and then again in this book was that for years there have been concerns amongst U.S. diplomats and others about these Wuhan labs, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the largest repository of bat coronaviruses in the world, where U.S. and Chinese scientists were working together to create viruses, not create, but to use science to develop viruses into versions that were more virulent, that could infect humans more easily and therefore were more dangerous and more transmissible. And then when the outbreak happened right next to these labs, there were a lot of people inside the U.S. government who wanted to look at these labs and who saw these reports from years ago about concerns about these labs, but they were unable to do so because of the political environment and because of the things that were going on inside the U.S. government and in the U.S.-China relationship, including that the Chinese government was blackmailing the U.S. government into not asking any questions and also blackmailing a lot of other countries and also lying about the origin of the virus and covering up the scientists and jailing the journalists. So there was a very extensive and well-funded campaign led by the Chinese Communist Party and also the Friends of this lab, the American Friends of this lab, whose careers were tied in with the lab, who had a clear conflict of interest, who were telling all the journalists, you better not talk about the lab. And by the way, we don't think the lab did it. And because we're the best friends of the lab, we're the best people to tell you that they didn't do it. So there was a perfect storm of horrendousness that combined to push us towards this idea that we couldn't look at these labs. And then, you know, here we are a year later. And of course, now we have Robert Redfield, who is the CDC director, Dr. Tedros, the head of the WHO, and many other people, including many scientists, saying, hey, listen, we got to look at these labs. It doesn't matter what political side of the spectrum you're on. So now we have to look at these labs. And that's the bottom line. And we've wasted a year. We've wasted a crucial time and energy and resources. And the question is only more important than ever because it relates to how do we stop this pandemic from happening again? We can't do that if we don't figure out how it happened in the first place.
Okay, so now let's go to why has it been, I mean, you're called a conspiracy theorist. You're called all kinds of names. You're shut down. People have been shut down on social media. Some have lost their jobs. Just for questioning, why? Who's so powerful that this is all is shut down like that?
You know, there's a couple reasons. One is because of, again, this propaganda campaign that was run by the Chinese Communist Party, but aided and abetted by American scientists who are the best friends of the lab. I'm talking about Peter Daszak, the EcoHealth Alliance, and all the rest who, you know, told us that it was a conspiracy theory because they didn't want anyone to look at the lab. And then when the WHO did its report, they hired the same exact scientists, including Peter Daszak, to go look at the lab. They went there for 3 hours, talked to the scientists, didn't see anything, got some data, but not really all the data, and then came back and said, we don't need to look at the lab anymore. And this is a cover-up, okay? There's no other word for it. It's a cover-up to distract us from the urgent need to look at this lab and also look at the other theories. But the whole point is that we need to look at all the theories and figure out what's what. And, you know, wherever the facts lead, that's where we have to follow. And it's really as simple as that. And then in the media, the reason that they picked up on this was because Donald Trump endorsed the lab theory. And most of the mainstream media didn't want that to be right. They couldn't bear with the fact that Donald Trump might have been right about something, despite the fact that he also did all these other things they considered horrible. But even the broken clock is right twice every day. And here we are a year later, and Donald Trump is no longer president. So it doesn't matter if he was right. But the media still doesn't want to correct their error if it is an error because they don't want to get dunked on. But getting dunked on is really not what's important. What's important is protecting our country from this pandemic.
I was talking to Condi Rice last week, and she said something that I had not heard anybody say before. She corrected me when I said rising China, and she said, it's a risen China. It's a risen China. It's not rising anymore. It's going to get more powerful, but it's already at the table, and it's a powerhouse. What does the shift in our president mean to China? And I mean, because I am not for trade barriers. I was strongly against trade barriers. However, I was torn on trade barriers with China because China is just, they're out of control and they are not the friends of freedom and not friends to us. And so I was glad to see that we were taking a hard line on China. And now I feel like we'll just excuse anything again that China is doing. Is that at all accurate, or is?
Yeah, Glenn, I agree with almost everything that you said. You know, when the Trump administration came in, what they did was they flipped over the chessboard. They ended 40 years of what was largely a policy of engagement first, cooperation first, which meant betting on the idea that as China got more powerful, that it would liberalize economically, and then that would lead it to liberalize politically, and that would then solve the rest of our problems. But it became pretty clear after Xi Jinping took power in 2013, and more over the years, that just wasn't happening. China was going another way. And actually, they were abusing our engagement to advance their interests against ours. And actually, they were interested in changing the world order to make it safe for autocracy and repression and aggression of all kinds. And that we were late to acknowledge that, much less respond to that. Now, the problem with the Trump administration's response, of course, is embedded in the title of my book, Chaos Under Heaven. It was very chaotic. You were there. It was a mess. At times, it was very dysfunctional. And so it was hard for anybody to really understand what was going on. And the factions fought internally, and Trump changed his mind on the tactics and all the rest. And, you know, we didn't stand up for human rights in against the Uyghurs and in Hong Kong. And the trade war, you know, I could make an argument that the tariffs were useful, but because the trade war was executed in such a haphazard manner, it undermined its effectiveness. But here we are 4 years later, and Trump flipped over the chessboard, and now the Biden administration has a chance to set it back up again. And they could, if they choose, set it up in a way to give us back the advantage. We still have the high ground. We still have the best economy. We still have the right. You know, we still have the position of moral justification that we stand for the things that we believe in, including democracy, freedom, human rights, the rule of law. And then we still have allies and partners who profess to believe in those things. So we don't know yet if they're going to pull this off, if they're going to take this new approach that the Trump administration admittedly messed up at times, but handed them, and make it more international and more effective. They could do that if they chose. We just don't know yet.
What are the signs that show us one way or the other? Have you seen anything yet?
Well, absolutely. So for right now, we have a lot of continuity, and we saw, you know, we still have the tariffs that, you know, I'm not a tariffs guy either, but hey, listen, that's leverage. You don't want to just give them away. You want to use them to get the things that you want. The Biden administration confirmed that there's a genocide going on in Xinjiang against the Uyghurs. Guess what? There is a genocide going on against Xinjiang, against the Uyghurs. And now they have to actually do something about it. So the indications are that they're, oh, by the way, they also haven't said that we can't talk about the lab accident theory. The Biden administration confirmed that there was some shady stuff going on in the lab that they didn't admit to. In other words, they want to get to the bottom of it. They're not invested in the idea that we can't talk about the lab accident theory because they weren't there at the time. So,
The indications are.
The indications are that they are open to a more assertive, more aggressive policy towards China, because that's what the American people want. That's what the polls show that Democrats and Republicans want, because the Chinese Communist Party's aggression now affects us in our own lives, in our schools, in our markets, in our sports, in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley,
everywhere.
So now that all Americans are woken up to this, especially if you're sitting in your basement scared of getting the coronavirus, you know that what happens in Beijing no longer stays in Beijing, and you want your leaders to do something about it. And that's what the American people are calling for, and that's what the Biden team is starting to respond to, but it's not enough yet.
So what was it that the Americans were doing that in this lab that many Americans didn't want other Americans to know about? Were they doing something nasty, or was it just it looked bad?
This is the crucial question, and this is a great question, because according to Robert Redfield, again, not a completely unproblematic person, but not someone who's bailing out the Trump team for the sake of it. According to him, the virus likely came from what's called gain-of-function research. That's what they were doing there. It's where you collect all these viruses from the wild, and then you run them through mice that have lungs that are adapted to act like human lungs. And you do that a few thousand times, and you see what happens. And that's the idea there, is to predict the next pandemic. And wouldn't it be ironic if the program to predict the next pandemic actually caused the pandemic, sparked it quite accidentally, of course. And the problem with that is that these Americans were doing this in Wuhan because this research had been largely banned by the Obama administration in the United States. So they moved it to China, where there was less oversight. And now here we are, and we're trying to get back into these labs. It's basically impossible because the Chinese government won't allow it. But what we can do is we can examine these American labs. And that means the NIH, and that means the NIAID, which is run by Anthony Fauci, and the EcoHealth Alliance. And this is what you see. This is what you see in Congress. More and more lawmakers standing up to say, okay, well, listen, if we can't get into these Wuhan labs, we want to know what all the American labs were doing in conjunction with them. And we want to know where the procedures followed. And if not, why not? And if not, and who's going to be held accountable for that? And then we got to take a look at all of this gain of function research, because, and this is going to blow your mind, Glenn, the current plan to respond to the pandemic is to increase this research sixfold by spending another $1.2 billion to collect 500,000 new viruses from the wild and bring them to labs all over the world. It's called the Global Viral Project. And do you want to do this every year? Do you want to have this problem every single year? So My simple proposal, again, not a pro-Trump guy, I'm not an anti-Trump guy, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm just a reporter who would like to not have a pandemic every year. And my idea is, let's figure it out before we sixfold increase this risky research. Let's figure out if that's what caused the pandemic.
Yeah, it would be helpful.
That makes me a crazy person, Glenn.
No, and I think if we're going to do this research anyway, we should do it in the United States. Shipping it off to China and having them do it in China, where their standards are a lot lower than ours, is insanity. Insanity.
Not just lower.
Go ahead.
The allegation by the Trump administration, which was confirmed by the Biden administration, by the way, again, not pro-Trump conspiracy theories, Jake Sullivan, all the rest, was that they took this research and then they had their own game going on with their military in a way that we didn't know about. OK, and that's
wow.
The real danger here is that we think we're just doing open science with a bunch of nice Chinese scientists. But these nice Chinese scientists may be very nice people, but they don't get to make the decisions about what research happens and what they tell us and what goes on in these labs. That's run by the party, and the party acts as it acts, which is not in our
interest. Josh Rogan, author of Chaos Under Heaven. Chaos Under Heaven is the name of the book. Josh Rogan, thank you for being on. Appreciate it.
Hatred of the whites. Is it because of slavery? And my argument is that it is not. Why is Shakespeare hated? Did he have slaves? Right. That should do it on its own. Every nation had slavery. Are they all hated? Whites are hated for creating America and the West. That's why they want to bring down. They use white hatred as the cover for West hatred. Remember when President Trump gave this magnificent talk in Poland? Magnificent. On behalf of Western civilization. New York Times declared it a white supremacist talk. That's right. Makes perfect sense. They hate the West. The left hates the West. The left hates order. The left hates capitalism. I point out in my column that Hitler hated capitalism as well. Major work. I read the entire book, a new biography of Hitler, by a professor at Cambridge. So that's a good credential for those of you who want credentials. And it's a lot about his hatred of capitalism. Remember, Nazism stands for National Socialism. The inevitable riots that you will have now are based on widespread beliefs that are lies, that are just lies. Thousands of blacks. Watch Ami Horowitz's video in Minneapolis, just made, just up at DennisPrager.com. There's a genocide taking place in America against blacks. It's funny because it's only the left that supports abortion. Takes far more black lives than anything else. I mean, there's no comparison. But anyway, putting that aside, that's the belief. Thanks to the Maxine Waters scum that are prevalent in the Democratic Party, black and white. The woman is rotten. I mean, we have some rotten people in public life. It's not people I differ with. Differ with never meant anything to me. I've never used these terms in my broadcast career. That woman is rotten. She is advocating bloodshed. Okay? President Trump did not advocate bloodshed, but the media said he did. He said, go to the Capitol peacefully. It's not quite the same as we need more confrontation. Days or hours before the verdict in the trial. Trial established no racism, by the way. So why does this have anything to do with race? It's hard to imagine what verdict there would be where there wouldn't be riots. There are people who riot because They're just pure anger. They're angry for personal reasons, and they have placed their personal anger onto America. That's what the left has done. 80% of black kids don't grow up with a father in their home, and that's a very big reason for anger. Read my friend Jesse Peterson. Jesse Peterson is sort of a modern prophet, one of the many wonderful black voices out there, less well known than Larry Elder, but truly a prophet. And he speaks about this tremendous anger within black life. He himself is black. They talk about we need to send social workers, right? Social workers. We need to prevent crime. Yes, you know how you prevent crime? How's this? Get married. The overwhelming majority of violent crimes are committed by single men. How's that? Anybody on the left advocating that? Get married. Want another prevention? Get religion. How many murders by blacks of other blacks, which is the overwhelming majority of black murders, take place or are perpetrated by men who are married and who go to church? It's probably close to 0%. Correct? But the left would never advocate that because they loathe middle class values. Loathe them. And anyway, it takes power from the state. Rely on the state for your solutions. Marriage? Pleh. Religion? Pleh. Go to college, you learn to have contempt for both institutions, marriage and church. That's what's going on. In a nutshell, please forward my column today. It's up at DennisPrager.com or Town Hall. We're living in the world of the lie created by the left. Wall Street Journal has a piece about a Obama physicist. He was in the Obama Energy Department, Stephen Koonin, K-O-O-N-I-N. And this man has just written a book. It's not up yet. It's not out yet. Yeah. I know. I said he wrote it, but it's not published yet. It will be in May. I already pre-ordered a copy. An interesting experiment will be his and other Democrats' response, that is Barack Obama, to a book by Stephen Koonin, who was chief scientist at the Obama Energy Department. Like that, folks? Good credential? Chief scientist, Obama Energy Department. Mr. Koonin argues not against current climate science, but what the media and politicians and activists say about climate science has drifted so far out of touch with the actual science as to be absurdly, demonstrably false. Well, how's that? Wall Street Journal accusing the mainstream media of lying about climate. Shockeroo, eh? But people believe it because they want to believe it. It's like they want to believe masks are protective outdoors. I'm not sure they're protective indoors, but outdoors is an idiocy. In 2017, the U.S. government's climate science special report claimed that in the lower 48 states, quote, the number of high temperature records set in the past two decades far exceeds the number of low temperature records. Now listen. On closer inspection, that's because there's been no increase in the rate of new record highs since 1900. Only a decline in the number of new lows. If you didn't follow that, let me explain that. This is an example of how reporting justifies that 19th century phrase, lies, damned lies, and statistics. Statistics are worse than damn lies because they're so manipulated. The rate of record hot days has not increased since 1900. Just the rate of cold day records has diminished. That's all. Mr. Coonan is a Brooklyn-born math whiz and theoretical physicist. He taught at Caltech for nearly three decades, serving as provost in charge of setting the scientific agenda for one of the country's premier scientific institutions. From deeply examining the world's energy system, he became convinced that the real climate crisis was a crisis of political and scientific candor. He went to his boss and said, John, the world isn't going to be able to reduce emissions enough to make much difference. That's Bjorn Lomborg's point. The issue is not whether the world is warming. It's whether changing the world's economy will help.
Welcome, my fellow Americans. First and foremost, I want to thank you for choosing us.
Earth Leader Biden, we have come to your planet to warn you about an impending crisis.
We cannot let this, we've never allowed any crisis from the Civil War straight through to the pandemic of 17, all the way around 16. We have never.
Do we
never
have our translators our set to the wrong language? Sir, can you speak more coherently, please?
Who the heck does he think he is?
Please, sir. I was only trying to...
Well, I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
He is threatening us.
What happened? I apologize.
Just as we feared, the Earthlings are too abrasive. We should speak to the Canadians instead. Bring us the Canadian leader.
Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, beautiful people. I want to thank you all so much for watching. Please, if you enjoyed this, like, share, subscribe, leave a comment below. And if you want to help us make more and get access to behind-the-scenes content, donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes. Thank you.